Morning. Let's see. Senate Education Committee is called to order. It is Monday, February 7th. The time is approximately 8:03 a.m. In attendance are Co-Chair Meyer, Vice Chair Davis, Senator Stevens, Senator French, and myself, Co-Chair Senator Thomas. We do have a quorum to conduct business. Thank you all for being here this morning. Today we are going to conduct public testimony, if there is any, and have committee discussion on SB 43, the Performance Scholarship Bill. Time permitting, today the committee will consider some amendments to the governor's bill. These amendments that we concur on will go ahead and adopt. Those we would like to consider further will set aside for the time being. In the end, well, we will present a committee substitute for SB 43, which will contain amendments we have adopted, or that will be forthcoming anyhow. Let's start with public testimony. Do we have anyone in the room that is here to testify on SB 43? Commissioner, you have any comments that you'd care to make if you've had any opportunity to take a look at? You have time later in the meeting if you care to or whatever. But, okay. Okay. We do have several people online. We have Jim Johnson with Doyon who does want to testify, and he, I believe, is in Fairbanks. Jim, if you are online, would you please put yourself on the record and begin your testimony?
Thank you very much, Senator Thomas. Good morning.
Good morning.
I am Jim Johnson, Senior Vice President of Administration at Doyon Limited, based here in Fairbanks, Alaska. I also serve as Alaska's Higher Education Representative to WICHE, the Western Interstate Commission on Higher Education. Thanks for the opportunity to testify this morning in support of this important legislation. As many of you know from last session, I was very active in advocating for increased corporate income tax credits for private investment in higher education, and I see in Senate Bill 43 an application of that tax credit concept to the scholarship fund, and think that's a very good idea and strongly support that. I'd also perhaps, in anticipation of a possible amendment, like to advocate in favor of extending the sunset provision that's in the current higher education tax credit program. Now, the program itself is excellent, and I think as applied in Senate Bill 43, it'll make it even better. But the three-year sunset in the current law is a problem for three reasons. First, it doesn't provide enough time to educate companies about the program and for those companies to go through their respective planning and budgeting cycles. Two, it doesn't support a company's multi-year giving program that runs beyond the sunset. And I think that's particularly important as companies are considering larger contributions, especially those that may include facilities. And third, the current sunset does not provide enough time for the legislature to evaluate recent improvements to the program before the sunset kicks in, and then by virtue of the current language of the law, those recent improvements go away. So, in short, I urge your support for Senate Bill 43, the extension of the tax credit concept to the governor's performance scholarship, and third, your support for extending the current sunset or eliminating it, but certainly extending it would be a real positive move. That's all I have, Senator Thomas. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Johnson. Are there any questions of Jim Johnson? Seeing none, thank you again. We appreciate your constant involvement.
Thanks, thanks, Joe.
Consistent as well. Let's see, Ian Dutton, the Alaska Sea Life
Mr.
Center.
Chairman.
Yes, yes, sir.
Can I speak before
Mr. Good morning,
Johnson.
Senator Thomas, and thank you for the opportunity to give some input this morning.
Could you hang on just one?
I'm the President and CEO of the Alaska Sea Life Center here in Seward,
Mr.
Alaska,
Dutton?
And there's many...
Mr. Dutton, could you hang on just one second here? Senator Stevens had a comment that he wanted to make in advance of your
I'm sorry. Thank you.
Well, I thank Mr. Dutton for being here, Dr. Dutton, but I'm not sure you'll understand the purpose of his testimony unless I explain that I have an amendment that would add the Sea Life Center to the list of the education tax credit could include. So that's what he's going to be testifying to, and I really appreciate his being here.
Okay, there we go. We're trying not to get the horse before the cart, so Senator Stevens' explanation was helpful. I'm sorry for interrupting you. Dr. Dutton, please put yourself on the record and continue with your testimony.
Thank you, and thank you, Senator Stevens, for that introduction. As I said, I'm Ian Dutton. I'm the President and CEO of the Alaska Sea Life Center here in Seward. And as many of you know, we're a major educational provider here in the state of Alaska. To give you two quick examples, first up, we educate on average more than 10,000 school children each year in our formal education programs in partnership with many entities across the state, including major entities like the Kenai and Anchorage school districts. And secondly, I'm very proud of this, we have a very strong record of internship education for students, undergraduates across the country, but here particularly in Alaska. And over the last decade, we've provided internships for more than 350 students. So we're a major provider of education in the state of Alaska. And I wanted to particularly speak to the importance of this bill. We're very supportive of Senate Bill 43. We think this is a terrific vehicle for furthering education support here in Alaska. But we particularly would like to make ourselves available as an opportunity to partner with this initiative in regard to corporate support for higher education tax benefits. And currently, we are not able to be a recipient institution because we don't qualify. And I think the proposed amendment that Senator Stevens was talking about offers the opportunity for the Sea Life Center to be formally recognized under this program. And we particularly wanted to seek accreditation as the designated Coastal Ecosystem Learning Center for Alaska. Many of you may not be familiar with that, but the Coastal Ecosystem Learning Center is one of 23 across the country who are partners with the federal government for formal education in the aquarium and marine science sector. And so we are the one and will be the only one designated CELC in the state of Alaska. And I think that will provide a tremendous opportunity and a vehicle for furthering the ambitions of Senate Bill 43. So I'd be happy to answer questions, but thank you again for the great work you're doing there in Juneau.
And thank you, Dr. Dutton. Are there any questions of Dr. Dutton? Hearing none, thank you for your testimony.
Thank you.
And we have Joanna Bales on the testimony list, and she is not in the room. I'm not sure if she's online and wants to testify or
Answer
questions. Thank you, Jerry, or Mr. Burnett. With that, is there anybody else in the room that cares to testify? If not, we have you should have in your packets anyhow a series of amendments, and we intend to start and I would say we'll probably keep them with the same numbers on them, that letters and numbers on them for consistency's sake, even though usually it's Amendment 1, 2, 3, or whatever, but I think it will be less confusing since there are several. We're going to take several of those up today. Prior to doing that, are there any other comments or questions regarding public testimony? If not,
Mr. Chairman, did you want to leave the public testimony open, or do you want to go ahead?
No, I would entertain a motion to close that, or I just close it myself, actually. I'll close public testimony at this point in time. Thank you for reminding me here. First amendment up, Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Chair, I move that we adopt amendment backslash 8.1. It's in the upper right-hand corner.
And I will object for the purpose of the discussion. Senator Meyer.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The original version of Senate Bill 43 extended the education tax credit to corporations only. And I think this actually is coming as a request partially from the administration and as well as something that I think we should do. Amendment A1 expands the credit to include producers of oil and gas, certain property owners, mining operations, fisheries, and floating fishery business. Also, the amendment, as was commented by a previous testimony, will extend the sunset to January 1, 2021, instead of the current 1-1-2014. And I think we heard, Mr. Chairman, too, that the reasons why that was important. And I guess we can discuss this if there's any objections to the amendment. So that's the motion, Mr. Chairman.
Are there questions, comments?
You have a brief at ease, Mr. Chairman.
Certainly.
I need to find the...
Back on the record. We are dealing with A.1. Are there any comments, questions? Senator Meyer.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I'll yield here to Senator French, so maybe he can object to my amendment and we can discuss it.
Well, I think that's where we are. I think the amendment's in front of us, and there's been an objection. I guess I'm just looking to the sponsor for an overview of how it works, and then it has to pass from one hand to the other to get the credit and so forth.
You're not supposed to ask that question. It's in the French.
I'm still new. Sorry.
Well, there is quite a history here with this amendment, and actually it was a separate bill on its own. Maybe Murray, do you remember the history of the tax credit?
Yeah.
It originally, Senator French, while Murray here gathers his thoughts, we passed this originally last year and it had a 3-year sunset because we weren't sure what the tax credits would encompass and entail. And what we found is that 3 years is just not long enough because some of the businesses, corporations, they want to do it over a series of years, and they want to make sure that if they start the program that it's going to be in existence. The other part of this amendment is actually, I think, something that the administration had requested, and so we may want them to address it as well. But, Mr. Chairman, perhaps Murray can shed a little more light on how this all came about.
Thank you, Senator Meyer. If you want to, there were tax credits to begin with. Anyhow, they were expanded, and if you have that information, I'd be helpful. If not, someone from the department can certainly, I think, add on to it. But I think if you just have a brief overview, that will be helpful.
Murray Richmond, co-aide to the Senate Education Committee. Last year, we did Senate Bill 236, and what that did was we gave corporations tax credits if they were donating to an institute of higher learning. And we did not previously have that, and we talked about caps on that. And because it was an indeterminate fiscal note, there was a sunset on it to see what the effect would be. As it turns out, that sunset is in 3 years, which is really not enough to see if the bill is taken to effect because the revenue, and they can speak to this more, but their scheduling makes it harder for them to actually gauge whether or not this is working. So essentially the original bill provides tax credits. If we insert it in the scholarship bill, that allows tax credits to also go for contributions to the scholarship fund.
Thank you. And I can see we're adding it in several places to the producer to the oil tax, to the property taxes for the oil companies, for mining taxes and so forth. And if you can just give me an idea of how it works, basically, if a say ConocoPhillips gives $1 million to the Performance Scholarship Investment Fund, what does that do to their tax obligation? Do they get a, is it a $1 million tax credit? Is it dollar for dollar, or do you know?
This might be something through the chair better for revenue to talk about, I think. So,
Would Joanna Bales be available for that, or yourself, Mr. Burnett? Okay, and I believe most of those credits did exist. They were just lower amounts. They were expanded, but somebody. If Joanna Bales, are you online?
Yes, I am.
Would you please help us out here if you could?
Through the chair, Senator French, the way the education tax credit works is, I mean, it's been around for some time, and prior to Senate Bill 236, which was passed last session, the maximum amount of credit that a company could take was $150,000 each year. And a company could take that credit against one of eight different tax types. That would be the corporate income tax, the insurance premium tax, and the insurance title premium tax, the oil and gas property tax, oil and gas production tax, the fisheries business, the fisheries landing tax, and the mining license tax. So when SB 236 passed, it didn't expand the credit as far as the number of tax programs against which it could be taken. It increased the maximum amount from $150,000 to a maximum $5 million credit. So to answer your question, if a company were to give a $1 million contribution, they would get an approximate $600,000 tax credit that they could take against any one of those tax types that I just mentioned. So that was the change in SB 236. So what this amendment would do is extend the sunset date from 2014 to 2021, because as I testified last week down there in Juneau, we will not get information about how the new increase works and whether or not we have more giving from companies until we see our first tax returns come in, which won't be until between March and October of 2012. And then we'll only have like a year and a half left to see how this credit works if the sunset does happen in 2014. And then this amendment also, in the original governor's bill, the adding the Alaska Performance Scholarship Fund as a qualifying contribution was only added to the corporate income tax credit, and yet we have this education credit which exists in seven other tax types. So this amendment would extend that to seven other tax types. However, this amendment doesn't increase the maximum contribution of $5 million, which is the most that you can take against all of those tax types.
Thank you. Excellent explanation.
Thank you. Thank you, Ms. Bales. Let's see. Oh, I need to recognize that Senator Giesel has joined us again today. We appreciate your interest. Okay, any other questions regarding the mechanism of A.1, Amendment A.1? If there is no other question or comments, I will remove my objection. And seeing no other objection, Amendment A.1 is adopted. At this time, the committee will take up the next proposed amendment, which is A.2, by Senator Meyer. Senator Meyer, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Chair, I move that we adopt amendment /A.2.
And I'll object for the purposes of discussion.
Okay, Mr. Chairman, this was recommended by the Scholarship Funding Task Force that met over the interim. The intent here is that the institutions participating in the scholarship program implement advisory counseling program for the incoming freshmen to assist them in determining which courses to take, and then to also help them in obtaining their degree, whether it be a two-year degree or four-year degree, within the 2 and 4 years, respectively.
And that has been a subject of comment, not only in particularly in this area, but in all of it, as far as whether the course curriculum would be and the counseling would be available to make sure that they that things can happen timely. There are other comments or questions regarding this?
Mr. Chairman.
Senator French.
Just to clarify, it looks to me like we're just adding this as a qualifier, that is, you can't spend performance scholarship money at an institution unless they have an advisory program, which may already be in place for students to help them map out their college
That's correct.
Courses. Thank you.
And thank you. Any other comments or questions? Seeing none, I remove my objection. Is there any other objection to the motion? Seeing none, Amendment A.2 is adopted. At this time, the committee will take up the next proposed amendment to the bill, Amendment A.3. Senator Meyer.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Chair, I move that we adopt Amendment /8.3.
And I'll object. Thank you, Mr. Senator Meyer. I'll object for the purpose of discussion.
Mr. Chairman, I think, can we take just a brief at ease here on this one?
Certainly. Brief at ease.
Thank you.
On record. Senator Meyer.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, this amendment is similar to the previous amendment that we had, although the previous amendment had to do with the counseling services. This amendment, again, follows the recommendation of the Scholarship Funding Task Force to require that qualified post-secondary institutions participating in the scholarship program are required to provide courses and credits in a timely manner so that a degree or certificate may be obtained in the expected time, i.e. bachelor degree 4 years, AA degree 2 years, etc.
Thank you, Senator Meyer. You did a great job of explaining my amendment. I appreciate that. We almost have too much paper before us here today, I think. I think we have duplicate copies of almost everything. So.
It's too much for a Monday morning.
Yeah, too much. Thank you for that explanation. Are there any other objection or comments or questions? Senator French.
More of a comment than an objection. I think it's a great idea, but I just I'm concerned that in my town of Anchorage, UAA has choke points in certain degrees, nursing being one, engineering being another, and I don't know how strictly this will be construed or applied, but I guess I will leave it to the folks at UAA to have read this and have analyzed whether any scholarship money will be jeopardized by some of those choke points. So I don't have an objection. I think you should be able to get a degree in the state in 4 years, and our colleges should offer enough credits and coursework to do so. I'm just a little concerned that those choke points will rub up against this provision, but I think it's worth keeping an eye on. That's all. Thank you.
Thanks, Senator. And that it was mentioned as an issue, and this is an attempt to try and push these things to resolution so that they straighten those issues out, because some of that some of those discrepancies were extending the time frame that it was taking students, and it was not necessarily their fault. So hopefully the counseling as well as the programs being available and put in a proper sequence and that counseling will help straighten that issue out. That's Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And for Senator French, I might add that there was a representative from the university on the task force. And when these issues were discussed, he felt like that they could accommodate.
Great.
Certainly would do their best to accommodate. Great.
Thank you.
Well, I've removed my objection. Is there any other objection, any other comments or questions? If none, Amendment A.3 is adopted. And at this time, the committee will take up the next proposed amendment, which is A.6. You should have that in your packet as well. Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Chair, I move amendment /8.6.
And I'll object for the purposes of discussion.
Okay. Great. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, again, the Scholarship Funding Task Force recommended this amendment. It requires an assessment and a report on the capabilities of the state to deliver distance education as it pertains to the scholarship program. The amendment requires the Department of Education, Early Development, the University System, and the Department of Labor and Workforce Development share and compile data so that a meaningful assessment can be made as to the feasibility of delivering the curriculum as required by the scholarship program across the state.
Thank you for that. Are there comments or questions? Senator French.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I feel like I'm popping up every opportunity, but
no, that's fine. We spent a lot of time on some of these, so we appreciate fresh look at them.
I'm actually very happy to see this assessment being included in the bill. My staff and I were just talking about this morning. She took the time to meet with just about every school district that asked to have a meeting with me. I sort of put my meeting off to the big one we had up in the Senate Finance Committee, but she met with every single school district, I think, that wanted to, and one of the recurring themes of their meetings was a concern about broadband capability in rural Alaska. And I know that this bill envisions, and other things we're doing envisions, sort of schools being able to do distance education and distance delivery, but whether or not the broadband availability is there in rural schools concerns me, and I'm just happy to see the committee taking it up and requiring a report every year, because I really question whether that's feasible, whether broadband is going to be feasible in a lot of school districts, and this will help us find out. So thank you.
Very good. Thank you, Senator French.
Mr. Chairman,
Senator Meyer.
Yeah, with your permission, Mr. Chairman, I'd like to ask the commissioner or Eddie Jeans a question concerning this.
Certainly. Yeah. Both of you, either of you, send Eddie up. There you go. That's right. Mr. Jeans, please put yourself on the record, and we'll ask you some questions.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, my name is Eddie Jeans, Education Policy Coordinator for the Department of Education. I'm surprised the commissioner called a lifeline right off the bat. I'm ready.
He's learning fast.
Yeah, exactly.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Meyer, continue.
I think that, you know, we've been working on this performance scholarship program for a while now. And I think the two concerns that come up constantly is, well, one is the funding, which we'll deal with later. And the second is that will all kids throughout the state of Alaska have equal opportunity for this scholarship program? And, of course, the concern is in the rural areas and the fact that they may or may not be able to provide the 4 years math, science, English, or even the other tier that we have with the 2 years of foreign language. So that's why we have this amendment, is just to make sure that they do have this capability and this access. And I know, Eddie, you and I have talked about this some, and I was just wondering if you would and could put on record what the thoughts are of the administration as far as reaching out to these sometimes very remote areas to assure that all children have equal opportunity to obtain this scholarship.
Thank you, through the chair, Senator Meyer. the department's already working on a report to the legislature on the, in this area in particular. There's a number of different avenues available to school districts. Many of them have their own in-district correspondence. As you know, we have about 12 statewide correspondence programs. Some districts already have video conferencing available in many of their remote sites. The university collaborates with many school districts to provide dual credit. And the Department of Education just entered issued a grant to Southeast Regional Resource Center that has a consortium, I believe, of 11, it might be 12 school districts that's developing the statewide virtual school. I appreciate Senator French's question about the broadband, and I'll work with our E-rate person at the state library to identify just what the bandwidth is available in the more remote places, so we can give you a very specific answer on that. But as I mentioned, Senator Meyer, we are working on compiling a report for the legislature in this area in particular, and identifying other avenues that the department can assist school districts in meeting the curricular requirements of the scholarship program.
Okay.
Very good, Mr. Chairman. Thank you. Senator Stevens.
I think one of the, concerns that I've always had is that even though we have a qualified instructor on one end of the internet, we're not going to abandon the child to be on his own on the other end of the internet. And can we assume that districts will always have someone available to help that child? If he's there by himself or with other students, there'll be someone to help them through it and ask questions on site. Is that generally the policy, Mr. Jeans?
Through the chair, Senator Stevens, it is the department's desire that we have the highly qualified instructor on one end and the teacher of residence at the school on the other end assisting those students with those programs. So, yes, that is our intent.
Well, thank you.
Thank you, Senator Stevens. Senator French.
Thank you. And Mr. Jeans, thanks for the answer. But in the absence or before waiting for a highly specific answer to the question, maybe before the bill leaves committee, you could just give me sort of a rough idea about of the three options I see for distance delivery, which is correspondence, basic internet, or video conferencing, sort of in order of visitation. I wonder if you can just sort of give me some idea, you know, are one-third of the schools going to be having to just do pencil and paper correspondence classes? You know, is it a quarter? Is it just 10%? Is it half? You know, how many sort of, I mean, just, and not today, but I just, you know, some rough idea of how this is going to play out in the districts. You know, I mean, how many schools really have video conferencing? I know some do because I've seen it in operation, and in some places it works really well, but I have no idea as a percentage how many of our rural schools really have access to that.
Through the chair, Senator French, we'd be happy to get that information for you.
Thank you.
Any other comments or questions?
Mr. Chairman, it's not necessary to the amendment that you have here, but I also want to say that during the time that the School Board Association was here, they were very proud in a lot of the districts of some of the things that they were doing on their own. Some of the things you think might not be happening are happening in the school district. And one program in particular that I was quite interested in was the one at Kodiak School District. And I can't explain it all to you, but they've provided information and will give it to us. I think there's lots of ways that we will be able to provide distant learning and making sure that they get their needs met. The other thing is the Alaska Association of School Boards have already reached out and said, yeah, we are willing to help you in that area. And we need to pay close attention to what they have because they've been providing distant learning for quite a while and have a good program that would be beneficial to the department.
Thank you, Senator Davis. Other comments or questions? Anything else regarding Amendment A.6? And we certainly realize that some of these things are just kind of pressing the issue along, and that's certainly what we're attempting to do, is push the issue along. If there are no other comments or questions, I would remove my objection and ask if there is any other objection. Seeing none, Amendment A.6 is adopted. Brief at ease. back on the record. At this time, I'll entertain a motion to adopt Amendment A.8.
Mr. Chairman, I move we adopt Amendment / A.8.
And I will object for purposes of discussion.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Steve.
As we've heard from Dr. Ian Dutton from the Sea Life Center, this is quite a remarkable facility. If you haven't had a chance to see it, it's a beautiful facility. It's quite remarkable, the science that they are performing there, the marine science. And as Dr. Dutton mentioned, they have some 10,000 students go through the center each year. They have 350 internship students that are involved. And as the program is currently written, they cannot apply for, it cannot be a recipient institution, yet they're doing a lot of scientific research, particularly in coastal ecosystem learning center. And I may have that wrong, I think it's ecosystem, but they'd be one of 23 institutions in the country that could apply for those funds. And I'd just like to say that currently, in order for the Sea Life Center to receive funds, they have to go through either the University of Alaska or Alaska Pacific University. And as you may know, if they go through the university, there are certain costs that go along with that and funds that they do not receive. And one of the problems is that if they do go through the university, if they buy equipment that then belongs to the university rather than to the institution. Mm-hmm. So this will amendment will allow them to enhance their ability to go after research dollars, and I tell you they're very good at that, and make sure that the institution remains financially sound. And so I encourage you to support this amendment, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you for your comments. Questions? Is your understanding, Senator Stevens, that this would be the only facility that qualifies?
Yes. The way it is written, it would be the only institution that would be added, the Sea Life Center in Seward.
It seemed to me that it would. Thank you. The administration have any comments, concerns? Let's see. Any other questions or comments? Seeing none, I'll remove my objection. Is there further objection? Hearing none, I will adopt Amendment A.8. We are intending to take up several other amendments. They deal with probably the most difficult aspect of the legislation, which is funding. So we intend to take those up. You have those amendments before you, but we wanted to give people the opportunity, since they were just produced at the end of the day Friday and distribution was finished at least, actually, this morning. So rather than rush through those, they're obviously the ones that have been creating a lot of controversy, and it also brings up the concept of whether we have a dedicated fund and reappropriation on an annual basis, particularly of the earnings that would be spun off from the fund. So that makes it a little more controversial, as well as a little more difficult for everybody to probably get a grasp on, and we'll have someone here on Wednesday to make sure that we get a good explanation of, and they're all kind of tied together. That's A4, A.5, A.7, and A.9. They're all related to that, so. Brief it is. back on the record. As we have a amendment, A.A. has some conflict with some of the other amendments that will probably make it difficult for people to interpret what we've done. So, Senator Stevens, if you would move to rescind A.8, and then we will make another motion to accept it as a conceptual motion. So if you would make that series of motions.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that we rescind amendment /A.8.
Thank you. Is there objection? Hearing none, we will rescind amendment A.8. Senator Stevens.
I move that we adopt a conceptual amendment /A.8.
Thank you. Is there objection to the amendment of a conceptual amendment A.8?
Mr. Chairman,
Senator
Meyer. No, I don't object, but just so that anyone who may be listening or wondering what we're doing here,
mm-hmm.
There is some concern with this latest amendment that it may conflict with the previous amendment we had made pertaining to the extending of the tax credit. Okay. So what we want to do is just make sure that they all blend together and make sense. And ultimately, as was mentioned, all these amendments will come together in a CS version.
Thank you, Senator Meyer. It does mention effective date and things in the amendment, so that I think what we did was a wise move, and it doesn't do anything other than give us an opportunity to make sure how they go together. Other comments, questions? I think it's been adopted anyhow. I don't know if there's any remaining objection. So, as I said, we will take up at the next meeting A.4, A.5, A.7, and A.9, so hopefully everybody has those before them, at least one, if not two copies. And they are all dealing with the funding and the funding level and the funding ratios potentially and proration and those types of things. So on Wednesday we'll be anxious to discuss those, and we should have Joanna Bales and others maybe available to make sure that we're clear on where we're headed with those, with that funding potential. If anyone else has any amendments, it would be helpful if they would be available by noon on Tuesday tomorrow, so we can make sure that they are in a packet and delivered to folks, so everybody has an opportunity, and that will make it make for smooth running on Wednesday, hopefully. Is there anything else to come before the committee today? We're moving ahead rather quickly. We had anticipated potentially taking up some of those other amendments, but since they're all tied together, I think it would be less confusing to take them up at one time and go through them and make sure everybody has a good understanding of what we're intending. Any other comments or questions? No? Everybody's happy? Okay. If there's nothing... Commissioner, did you have anything you wanted to say now that you're 3-4 days on the job? You know, at least the school system hasn't cracked and fractured and leaking oil on the ground or anything like that. So you're.
Yes. No, thank you, Chairman.
You're welcome. Thank you.
I'm getting my feet under me. I appreciate the support of this department, and just to follow up with the commitment that I made to you the other day, that I will be here, and I appreciate the expertise of Eddie Jeans and those around me to make sure that you're getting the answers that you need. But things are moving smoothly, and I'm looking forward to being more involved as time goes on.
Great. Thank you. Any questions of the commissioner? Hearing none, thank you for being here today as well.
Thank you.
If there's nothing else to come before the committee, we will adjourn.